This program brought to you by Guns80.com, America's finest provider of 80% AR-15 rifles. Go to Guns80.com now. That's Guns80.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, Dizzy and others, your calls are coming up. In fact, we're going to move shift here at about 15 after, so I can come back, get their calls before shift's on with us. And shift with us for the balance of the hour. He predicted accurately what happened with interest rates. We have Anthony Gucciardi here with us with some breaking news, but you were able to actually find the folder. It was stuck in between another one. On Child Ease supports calm, focused attention. This is all natural. These minerals, these compounds are known to just make kids healthier, happier, smooth out their whole metabolic system. That's what it does. A true game changer. 4 ounces of this, I give my kids when I remember, a teaspoon in the morning, a teaspoon at night, and my daughter, starting to get ready to go through puberty. She hasn't yet, but she's really growth spurting. She'd wake up some at night, do stuff. If I religiously give this to her, she sleeps through the night, doesn't wake up wandering around, getting stuff to, drink out of the refrigerator at 3 a.m., waking me up and, knocking stuff over. I mean, it really works. Tell folks about the reviews there.
And it actually tastes good. There's no alcohol in it. Most of these children's products don't taste good, so that's a different thing, too. But so we talked about earlier, some people are just taking themselves, not just giving it to their kids. This is from Button in Canada. It says, helps me focus in a calm, natural way. I take it with Super Male Vitality and other InfoWars combinations. Then we have someone, Carl from the UK, says, it does what it says, exactly what it says. Regular customer, never been let down. So people are taking it themselves, too, not just giving it to their kids. And I've done that as well, obviously testing it out. And it really does just kind of calm you out. I think it's a great product overall, not just for children, but it is specifically made for kids.
And I don't have side effects from brain force, but sometimes I take it a little too late, and then I can't go to sleep, and I drink about a double dose of this. Consult your physician first, but I take a goodly dose of it. If you take it with Knockout, though, whoa, I wouldn't do that, because the two combined, I've done that. But I tell you, Knockout works like a charm. It's back in. This is how we fund the operation. I mean, we've set out to bring in the most hardcore, affordable products out there that are true game changers. So some of them are just famous, staples that we've tweaked from major manufacturers that are high quality. Others are game changers that we've basically invented.
Like DNA Force.
Absolutely. DNA Force, 20% off, InfoWarsLife.com. Okay, the few minutes we got left, Anthony, I know you're going to be hosting the show tomorrow in the fourth hour, but let's get into this other news.
So 28 years for Salmonella. A peanut executive has been sentenced to 28 years, which is pretty much a life sentence for him.
Did he really know they were shipping it out? That's
apparently,
crazy.
Apparently. But it's really just to make a statement to everyone else, right? This is really just to scare food producers. A federal judge handed Parnell a 28-year prison sentence, the toughest penalty ever for a corporate executive in a food poisoning outbreak. He's 61, and unless he wins an appeal, he will serve out most of his term. His brother and food broker also received a 20-year sentence, and the plant's quality assurance manager was given 5 years. So that's a big deal. And then here's one. Here's a quote. Although his sentence is less than maximum, it is the longest sentence ever in a food poisoning case.
But did he admit, because I followed it some but couldn't find out, did he admit that he knowingly did it?
It's really, really complex.
Here's an example, though. Hospitals cover up deadly fungus, kills a bunch of people. That's in the news. They don't get in trouble.
Well, meanwhile, I was going to say also, big drug manufacturers, like it just came out that the Paxil metadata showed that it caused suicide in teens, but they just pay fines and no one cares, or Pfizer pays fines.
So the point is they selectively burn people when they want, because that guy was a smaller manufacturer. They're setting the precedent to go after little guys.
Well, that.
That's how Tyson shut down all the other chicken producers.
There's a bigger piece, too. There's an article in Forbes that says FDA needs more funding, and it came out because of this. So they're going to say, hey, there was salmonella in this peanut butter. We need to get more money for the FDA and bureaucratic systems to look at everybody harder. We need to have more billions of dollars for this, or else people are going to die. Meanwhile, Big Pharma does whatever they want and kills everybody. But it's like, oh, there was salmonella and peanut butter. We need to get more funding for the FDA immediately. More bureaucracy.
But if you're Tyson, you can have thousands of violations. You don't get in trouble. But a small mom and pop, you're shut down for one.
Exactly. It's setting a precedent. Big corporations do what they want. The chickens sit in generations of their own feces. That's fine. Not a
Monsanto does whatever they want. Simply insane. Thank you, Anthony Gucciardi. Great job. More on that tomorrow when he hosts the fourth hour of Overdrive. Peter Schiff coming up, but first, some of your calls.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
The folks at My Patriot Supply get it. They know the world can be unpredictable, and there are some scary things happening right now. The only way we can make sure we maintain our independence, despite the situation, is to take control and get prepared. They've come up with a deal that will help you get prepared for anything. Right now, you can get a 4-week food supply for only $99. That's almost 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Limit 2 per caller. This offer isn't available online, so take advantage of this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your 4-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Phone lines. Folks want to talk about the Pope's visit. At the bottom of the hour, I'll go to you, and you can each have about 30 seconds, a minute to give your comment on it and how it affects the economy. We'll get Peter Schiff's take on it at that point. But he's with us for the hour, the head of EuroPacificCapital.com, by the way, billions under management, to break down the fact that he accurately predicted 6 months ago, 3 months ago, a month ago, that the Federal Reserve would not raise interest rates. Now they're saying it might come in a few months. And I was talking when I was in Omaha over the weekend, where there is a Federal Reserve based bank system. I was talking to someone who works for the Federal Reserve. I'm just going to leave it at that. And they said, at least from their Fed head, that they didn't think it was a good idea that rates hadn't gone up, and that they were pressuring out of that particular based bank that was tied into Kansas City, but that the Omaha branch was pressuring them to raise interest rates. And I told this Federal Reserve official that I thought that Peter Schiff and others were right, that they couldn't raise them because that would really make the economy implode. Obviously, Peter Schiff has said they should raise them, but they're not going to raise them, and he's been proven right yet again. So Peter Schiff joins us, Europac.com. Now, we're going to then also get into some of the other reports that tie into this whole cashless society control grid. Intelligent car seat detects driver's stress level. That's Reuters, and of course reports it to the police. Migrant crisis in Euro tension threatens to trigger catastrophic conflict, claims experts. Also, trade-off. Greeks turn to barter as country runs out of cash. Another report, fighting for pedophilia. It's official. U.S. government policy to allow Afghan allies to rape little boys. You cannot make this up. And now Democratic Party-connected publications like Salon are coming out saying, don't be mean to pedophiles. It's only their sexual attraction. It's their persuasion. Don't be hateful. So what if your persuasion was torturing women to death? Would that be okay? I mean, I was watching this video from a university with feminists saying basically all sex is rape, and university reports 23% of women have been patted or kissed at parties, and that's rape now. So men patting a woman on the rear end at a drunken party is rape, but body parts of babies being sold, that's no big deal, and pedophilia being promoted, that's okay. And putting transgender bathrooms in to confuse kids is okay. I mean, this is a takeover that is taking place. And I'm all over the map here. I've never really asked Peter Schiff his take on the moral decline of this country. I know he's kind of a paleo-conservative slash libertarian, was Ron Paul's chief advisor in his first campaign. But, you know, us libertarians are live and let live, but we're being conquered by the cultural Marxists who really are driven by their need to overthrow everything good and decent. And so I want to get into your prediction becoming, you know, accurate and true yet again, where you see the economy going, so much more, the pubs visit, phone calls, whole nine yards, whole shooting match. But first off, culturally, Peter Schiff, you know, as a father, as a husband, as a patriot, I mean, do you ever scratch your head and think, how much worse can it get? I mean, are liberals really this sick and freakish in their behavior? I don't know if you've seen the article. Suddenly, now the new movement is pedophilia. What is your view on just all the craziness?
Well, look, I don't know how much worse it's going to get, but, you know, I wanted to go over with you how much worse it's gotten for my father. And this probably shows you where we are at a nation when this is how we treat our prisoners. And, of course, remember my dad being a political prisoner, but he's nonviolent. And I want to just...
For a book he wrote, the judge said 10 years ago, you won't go to prison if you stop printing the book and stop speaking. Your father said no. A true political prisoner like North Korea, please continue, Irwin Schiff.
So let me tell you what happened. So I went and visited him. I hadn't seen him in a while because, you know, they isolated him out in Fort Worth, Texas, supposedly because he could get better medical care there. This is the irony of it. He used to be at a place called Otisville, which was in New York, close to my house, easy to visit, no long lines. He liked it. He, you know, there was a huge Jewish population there. He was like the cantor rabbi. You know, he was enjoying his captivity to the extent that you can. But when he turned 80, which was 7 years ago, they said, well, you're too old to be at Otisville. You need to be in this special camp. And they sent them first to Tallahassee, Indiana, and then to Fort Worth, Texas. But, of course, he rarely gets visitors because he doesn't know anybody. You know, I had to take a plane, rent a car. It's a big deal.
And, by the way, to interrupt you, Terre Haute is the maximum security execution center. So they sent him to the most hard.
They also have a lower security facility. He wasn't yeah, there. But it's not the camp that he was at in Otisville. But in any event, so I went to visit him. And the way it works in this prison is, depending on what your prison number is, if it ends in an odd number or an even number, you can either visit on a Saturday or a Sunday. You can't visit on both days because a lot of people want to visit their loved ones on the weekends, and so they split it up. So my dad happened to be on a Saturday. Now, also, they have visiting Friday night. So I booked my plane reservation about a week ago. I flew in Friday to visit him Friday night. I was going to see him Saturday day. You get about 6 or 7 hours on Saturday. Friday night, it was going to be a two-day visit. So I got there on Friday evening for the scheduled visiting hours. And when I get there, there's nobody there. And there's a couple of guards there. And they said, well, why are you here? And I said, well, I'm here to visit my father. He's an inmate. And they said, oh, you know, we don't do evening visits anymore. We changed that last week. And I said, well, gee, why didn't you say something about it? I mean, I looked at the website. I called up. No one said anything. And they said, well, you know, we put a sign out front. And I said, well, a sign out front, what good does that do me? I can't see from Connecticut your sign here in Fort Worth. I mean, these guys couldn't care less that people are making arrangements based on the visiting hours. And then they just changed them abruptly without notice, without any advance
notice. Total arrogance.
Yeah. In fact, when I went back to my hotel room that night, I checked the website, and it still had the visiting hours being Friday night. They still haven't even put on the website that they changed it. So anyway, I came back the following morning, and I got there when it started. And, of course, it's not even that long a line, maybe 40 people. It took me 2 hours to get in the front door. You know, I mean, 2 hours on a line that wasn't that long. That's how slow they process. Meanwhile, in the parking lot is now filled, you know, because of some Obama mandate, all federal buildings have to have covered parking with solar panels. And they're spending a fortune covering the parking lots with solar panels. Meanwhile, you know, there's no benches to even sit down when you're standing, you know, waiting for 2 hours. But when I finally got in there, they pulled me aside and they said, oh, we got some news for you, so you can't just go right in and visit. Now, I have no idea what it is. As far as I know, maybe my father died. So I'm waiting another 20 minutes or so in this little room for some woman to come out to tell me why I can't visit my father. And it turns out that he had been admitted into the hospital the day before. And, of course, they'll never tell you when they bring your loved one to the hospital, because theoretically that's when we can plan the escape. See, if they told us that they were taking my father to the hospital, we could, you know, try to ambush the ambulance and break him out of jail. So to make sure that we don't do that, they don't say anything. So they tell me my father is in jail.
Dad has cancer. We need to add that.
Yes, he has cancer. So I go to the hospital. And first of all, in order to get into his room, there's two armed guards right by his door. Armed guards guarding my dad. He's 87 and he's almost blind. He couldn't even see my face. He could just see a blurry outline of my face. Of course, if they had taken care of his eyes, he probably has really bad cataracts, but maybe he could see. But in any event, they have two armed guards. We're paying taxpayers to guard my 87-year-old father. And I get in there, he's shackled to the bed, right? He's got a handcuff around his ankle, and he's shackled to the bed. But the thing is, he's in really bad shape. And this is the worst part about it. So I got to talk to a doctor who had been examining him, and probably I never would have been able to speak to this doctor had I not been in the hospital at the time. And the doctor first tells me that my father, when he was originally diagnosed with cancer, according to the prison records, he refused treatment. Now, my father screamed like, no, I didn't. Why would I ever refuse treatment? Somehow, because my father told me, I said, well, what's the treatment that they're recommending? And they told him, there's nothing we can do. There's no treatment. But now, according to the records, my father refused treatment.
So they dummied the records up. It's just a total collapse of civilization, not caring, total fraud.
Yeah, but here's the worst part. So the doctor tells me now that the cancer has spread, and she shows me his CAT scans, and that the cancer has spread to all these other organs in his body, Jesus. Not just his lungs. But she also says, you know, look at his head. She sees these marks, and she thinks he has melanoma, and she thinks he has melanoma that went undetected and untreated and spread to the rest of his body. So in other words, they brought my father to this facility because of how great the medical attention is. He basically got no medical attention whatsoever. He had melanoma, which could have been cured probably a few years ago, but they did nothing about it, and they wait until it's basically infected his entire body. And now I have no idea how much more time he has left to live. I mean, I don't know that he's even going to live to get out.
Unbelievable. I know this is hard for you, but I probably had your dad on, let's not exaggerate, 30 times. I got him, helped get him on the GCN radio network, helped get him syndicated, probably one of the reasons he got in so much trouble. His show got very popular, got picked up by a bunch of radio stations. And I tell you, usually I don't like to go out to eat and, you know, talk about politics with folks because I get enough of it already. Your dad was so fun to eat dinner with. I probably had dinner with your dad 10 times. And it personally gets to me to think about him being tortured like this.
And then
I think about you, his son, what you must be going through. I mean, he should be out of prison right now. He's a political dissident.
Just to see him there, you know, all by himself, withering away, maybe 140 pounds, he's skin and bones, he's not eating, he's all by himself, you know, he's starting to lose his mental capacity, probably dementia. Meanwhile, you know, everybody I talk to says, yes, the people at the prison want him out, right? But he's still not out. The bureaucracy, the wheels turn so slowly, we can't even get a dying man out of prison. We have to sit him in a hospital with armed guards shackled to a bed. He's got no visitors. There's no family members around. And basically, the prison system killed him. He's been in jail for 10 years already. It was a 13-year sentence, which really was a death sentence for a nonviolent so-called crime, basically standing up for his constitutional rights, standing up for the American people, trying to get the government to abide by the Constitution. And this is what they do to him.
And they could do it to any of us. If people don't have empathy, they're insane.
But I think people, maybe your audience, maybe we can do something to demand that they let him out. I think we need a congressional investigation of the prison, both in Texas, at Fort Worth, and in Terre Haute. What kind of medical attention did my father receive? You've got an elderly patient in your care or prisoner. What medical attention did he get? Because, you know, we're all talking about turning over health care to the government, Obamacare. Well, the government is in charge of health care in a prison. And this is what happens when the government is in charge of anything.
And it gets worse and worse, and everybody passes the buck. At every level, there's a breakdown. In fact, I was thinking Obamacare earlier. I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, we know it's hell in England. We know it's bad in Canada. We know government-run health care is a disaster, and now we're going under it. And then now the left is so empowered, they're now coming out for pedophilia. I mean, these people are insane.
And think about how government works. I ask the people, why does he have to be chained to the bed? Well, because it's not comfortable to be lying in a bed when you're handcuffed to it. And I said, well, can you at least take the cuffs off? No, those are regulations, because he might escape. How is my father, 87, can barely walk and is almost completely blind? How is he going to overpower the two armed guards?
Well, see, that's the centralization. That's the centralization where I had grape jelly. I wasn't thinking about it at a farmer's market in Omaha. I was bringing it back to my mom. They find it. They interrogate me for 30 minutes. Why do I have this? How dare me? You know, I'm lucky that I'm allowed to leave. And I said, with a straight face, my grape jelly's bad. Yeah, this is a joke. And they said, well, sir, it's our regulation. See, they don't give these people any leeway for common sense. They're like robots.
Now, no, they can't think for themselves. They're like, well, if we take the handcuffs off your dad, well, we have to do it for everybody. No, you don't. You got an 87-year-old guy that can barely walk and is legally blind. Take the cuffs off him. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, if it's a 30-year-old convicted pedophile, child rapist, chain him up to the wall and punch him in the stomach. I mean, I'm being sarcastic, but obviously a blind guy with cancer, you don't need to chain him down.
No, and especially when you have two armed guards. Where is he going to go? There's no, I mean, it is insane, but this is government. This is how government operates. This is how government functions. That's why you want to absolutely limit government to its smallest possible capacity. That's what the founding fathers tried to do with the Constitution. My father tried to stand up for that document and force the government to abide by it because the courts have let the government get away with murder. And in this case, they are getting away with murder because they're murdering my dad.
Well, I know it must be hard for you. Did you tell them folks on the outside are rooting for him and that people are reading his book more than ever?
I did tell him. I told him I was going to go on your show and I was going to talk about it. He wants to get the word out there. He wants people to understand what's going on in this country. And I tell you, I've never seen him or listened to him more negative about what he thinks is going to happen economically. I mean, he is really, really worried.
Tell us what your dad has to say. He's a smart guy. Tell us.
Well, you know, he couldn't say much because he's losing his short-term memory. So he, a lot of the things he just kept saying to me over and over again without any recollection that he had already told me. But he is very concerned about the financial position of the U.S. economy and what's going to happen when the dollar collapses or the Fed has to or the Congress has to admit that they can't make Social Security payments, they can't make any of these payments, and there's, you know, riots and food shortages and energy blackouts. I mean, he's really, really nervous about the civil unrest that he sees developing in the United States as a result of this problem blowing up. But I think, you know, we can get in a later segment, the next one, and talk about, you know, what's going on in the economy and the Fed.
Sure, well, I skip the break. Let's get into the meat and potatoes. I'm not going to even play the clips. You're on record at Europac.com. You were on record being criticized in the national media for saying they will not raise interest rates, and now they haven't raised interest rates. Break that down and the latest since you were on a month ago.
Well, first of all, the important thing is the excuse, right? Because everybody is still buying the lie. This is part of the show. So Janet Yellen came out and said, okay, like we were going to raise interest rates, but now we're not because of China. Like we're worried about these problems overseas, and so we're not going to raise rates. And the media buys it, right? But that's not the truth. Janet Yellen is lying. I said this in the beginning, that they are going to come up with one excuse after another. And it doesn't even matter what the excuse is. It's whatever makes the most sense at the time. Whatever is the most convenient, that's what they're going to blame it on. Because look what Janet Yellen said, the same playbook. She said, we're not raising rates now, but we may raise them in October. Well, that's in 6 weeks. Well, if the Fed is so worried about the problems in China, they're not going to go away in the next 6 weeks. So why not say we're not raising rates in October either? Because that's not their playbook. The script that they've been operating under is pretend we're going to raise interest rates in the future, but just don't raise them now. And the whole reason for this is to make believe that there's a real recovery and that they're confident they can raise rates, and they come up with one excuse after another why they don't raise them, because if they ever did raise them, it would pierce the recovery myth, because the air would come out of the bubble that much faster. We'd be right back in recession. We'd have another financial crisis, and they'd be doing QE4, and they would look like fools.
And to show how disconnected they are, even the Fed head up in Omaha thinks they're really going to raise it in the next few months, to show how the New York Fed is keeping the other Fed groups out of the loop. Break down how that whole group works, because people think it's just one unified Federal Reserve. They don't understand how the real board works.
Well, you have various member banks. You have different people that are part of the Federal Open Market Committee, so they all have a voice. But I think it's easy to dissent if you know that the majority is going to make sure that your dissenting opinion doesn't actually happen, right? So it's easy to say, hey, I think we should raise rates, when you know everybody else is going to make sure that rates don't go up. Right. So then you can look like you're the responsible one, but everybody else is preventing the rate hike. But I'm sure even the guys that say they want to raise rates, if it came right down to it and their voice was, the vote was the deciding vote, they don't want to raise rates, because that will expose the myth.
Sure.
Right. The Fed wants to pretend they can raise rates, because theoretically raising rates is a sign that everything is better. Right. But they want to pretend everything is better without proving.
Sure.
That it's
so
not.
You accurately hit the nail on the head, and you told CNBC, and we put the article up, there's video, you said just last week, you said, I predicted what the Fed would do correctly, now I'm going to predict what the stocks are going to do. Let's get into that.
Well, I actually never said anything about what the stock market was going to do on that interview, but I do believe that the
Sure, well, that's
market-
their headline. Let me give you the headline then so you know. We'll put it back on screen. Schiff, I'm right about the Fed, I'll be right about stocks. So what's that about?
Yeah, I don't know where they got the headline on stocks, but you know, the only thing I did say is that I thought that the stock market needed QE4 in order to not fall, which is what
of
I
course.
Believe. I think that just keeping interest rates at zero is not enough to support the market. This market is really propped up. It's a huge bubble. It needs air. It needs QE4 to stop from deflating.
And it needs the Fed to keep buying the bonds, right?
Well, absolutely. That is QE4, right?
Yeah.
The Fed has to expand its balance sheet if it wants to stop a bear market. And I believe it does want to stop a bear market. It's not going to admit that. It's not going to say that's the reason. But it also wants to prop up the banks. It wants to prop up the real estate market. You know, this reminds me a lot. What's going on now? You go back to 2006. I'm going to put together another video of some of these clips again of me talking about the housing bubble, which was so incredibly obvious to me and should have been obvious to everybody, but it wasn't, you know, what was going on and what was going to happen when that bubble burst. And it's the same thing all over again. This is so incredibly obvious, yet everybody is oblivious to the problem and how it's going to be resolved. And maybe, I don't know, is the Fed this dumb, or do they know it now, and are they just lying to cover it up?
Sure, let me ask this question. It's the classic, damned if you do, damned if you don't. We're going to break in 1 minute, but try to answer it now or after. Explain to people how it's bad if we do keep doing the QE, but how it's bad if we don't, but that it's probably better to go ahead and raise interest rates. Explain that when we come back. Peter Schiff, our guest. And I know we got phone calls about the Pope. I'm going to work you in. We can get his take on that as well. His answer is wealth redistribution. His answer is class warfare when he's exempt from taxes and above the law. And They've got headlines about Obama basking in the aura. I mean, I'm going to throw up here in a minute. I mean, this is truly sickening to have a Marxist Pope. I mean, we are in deep trouble. I mean, that's all I can say is we are in deep trouble. I mean, if you think the economy's bad now, wait till they bring in more government control, more taxes. This is really bad news. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The folks at My Patriot Supply get it. They know the world can be unpredictable, and there are some scary things happening right now. The only way we can make sure we maintain our independence despite the situation is to take control and get prepared. They've come up with a deal that will help you get prepared for anything. Right now, you can get a four-week food supply for only $99. That's almost 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Limit two per caller. This offer isn't available online, so take advantage of this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your four-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, two of our top priorities are providing quality food at a reasonable price and protecting your security. When you call 800-700-2184, we will never record your phone call and never ask for your personal information, like how much food you have stored or where you keep it. We'll also never store your credit card information and email address on a computer. Your email address will never be shared or sold. We'll never limit the number of boxes you can purchase. We'll never use outside packers or use relabeled food from another company. Our meals are naturally high in fiber, carbs, and protein, and everything is packed with oxygen absorbers and Mylar pouches under our direct supervision at our plant in Oregon. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low by buying directly from their producers in Oregon and then passing the savings on to you. Call 800-700-2184 and purchase our 30-day 90-serving emergency food supply for only $99, and $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Visit our website, 30dayfoodsupply.com, or call 800-700-2184. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com at 800-700-2184.
You're listening to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
We're going into a total crony capitalist society where they use socialism, communism, social engineering to control and dumb down the public. I mean, communism, socialism doesn't work. It always ends in disaster. You've got the ultra-rich, a lot of them that are robber barons that got their money through government contracts, who are waging war against the nouveau riche, the middle class, and the working poor. It's been that way for really thousands of years. It's feudalism. Peter Schiff's our guest. I know we got loaded phones to talk about the Pope, Desi, and folks like Dave, Matt, and others. We'll get to those in a little segment where we talk about the Pope and get Peter Schiff's take on that. I know he's an economics guy, but he joins us for a full hour, so it's important to get his take on other things like we did about his father in prison, because we're more than just a financial show or a news show. We get into the humanity of what's happening. We're going to go back to our guest from Euro-Pacific Capital. The website, of course, is on screen, europac.com. Briefly, I have storable food because I know society can completely unravel and collapse. I'm working to stop that from happening. We could turn the free market back on at any time, and I believe, reverse a lot of this. I'll ask Schiff his take on that in a moment. But regardless, I've got high-quality storable foods, and we only bring you sponsors that are the very best. That's why for 4 or 5 years we've had My Patriot Supply. They started 6, 7 years ago and have become in the top three in the country because of low pricing, high quality. We have the entire line of My Patriot Supply, their latest discounts. They're changed every week at InfoWarsStore.com. When you purchase it there, it helps support this broadcast. I want to thank you for that. But we're now private labeling the exact same food, but they're able to get us an even lower price through InfoWarsSelect.com. That's also at InfoWarsStore.com. It's the lowest price they've ever offered in their history. I've had their CEO on 2 weeks ago. They've extended it 1 week because it was going to end in just a couple days. They're extending it till October 1st, and this introductory lowest price ever on the highest quality storable foods will end. You can call and ask questions about it, or you can go to InfoWarsSelect.com or InfoWarsStore.com and click on the storable food area or call toll-free 888-253-3139. The elites are storing food. They've got emergency seed banks. They're digging in. I see them in the London Guardian and the New York Times. I'm not saying everything's going to collapse. I didn't say Jade Helm would be martial law. The media makes that up. I'm saying this is important insurance to have, just like car insurance, probably more important. And whether it's high-quality non-GMO seeds you can buy at InfoWarsStore.com or high-quality water filters or the Life Straw, you name it, the very best stuff, just to have peace of mind, is there. Whatever we use, what we research, what we promote, that's what we sell. So InfoWarsStore.com or InfoWarsSelect.com to find all of that. Some of our amazing nutraceuticals, Child Ease is back, a classic formula put up by one of the biggest manufacturers in the country for 20 years, the national bestseller. We simply tweaked it, added some stuff, and have our own formula, Child Ease, 4-ounce bottle, very affordable, really will relax and focus your children. We almost called it Focus Child because that's what it really does. Being focused makes them calmer. And my kids use it. I use it. Adults can use it. It's back in stock. 20% off DNA Force, our flagship product, and 20% off Brain Force for 1 week only. Those are the new specials at InfoWarsLife.com. Going back to Peter Schiff of Europac.net, Europac.com, again, billions under management, predicted the many of the bubbles, implosions, predicted, if you don't know who he is, most of you do, the situation with the housing bubble before it happened in 2008, has predicted that we would see a worldwide economic recession and a depression in the last few years. We're now entering into that. Most areas of the world are in a depression or in conflict. We're not seeing that yet here because we're like, islands are just mountains in the ocean. And as water rises, it covers other islands that aren't as high, but the water's rising. The question is, how high will it rise? So, Peter, that was my question before the break. For the folks that just joined us, I'll recap it. You say we're in trouble if we continue QE. We're not in, we're in trouble if we get rid of it, but we should get rid of it. What do you see coming down the road as they don't get rid of it, and why is it better to get rid of it and raise interest rates?
Well, you know, it's just like a drug addict. I may use this analogy a lot, but, you know, if you're addicted to drugs and you make a decision that you're going to kick that habit and you check yourself into a rehabilitation center, right, your life is going to change for in the short run, and it's going to get a whole lot worse, right? Apparently, or I guess if you're doing drugs, you're having a good time. That's maybe why you're taking drugs. You feel great. You're high. But if you make a decision that you want to kick that habit and you go to rehab, now you're going through withdrawal, right? You're not, you know, going to Club Med. You're not going to have a good time. You're going to have to, you know, adjust to a normal life. And so that means a big change in the way you live your life. But it's better than continuing to do drugs and then maybe being dead in a hospital bed of an overdose. And that's where we are. You know, we've got this phony economy that's propped up on this monetary heroin, and we need to stop. We need to, you know, we need to go into economic rehab. That's what would happen if the Fed raised rates. It wouldn't be fun, but it would be a positive step. It would be a healing experience as we restructure the economy. What would that look like? It would mean that we had to stop spending money, tear up our credit cards, live within our means. Asset prices would come down, like stocks and real estate. A lot of banks.
Yeah, that's the good part. Is that what we need would get cheaper?
Well, yeah. Well, the cost of living would go down. Look, Home ownership is at the lowest it's been since 1967. It's like a 48-year low. But if you take out the older people, for young people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, it's never been this low. Why? Because real estate prices are too high. Well, if the government lets the bubble pop, real estate prices will plunge, and a lot of people who are renting might be able to afford to buy a house. You know, a lot of things will become more affordable.
This economy is only good for the engineers at the top who know where the market's going to go, who get the money first. They're the ones riding the bubbles. All the rest of us get screwed by it.
But, you know, a lot of things are going to change. But right now, Americans, we buy a lot of stuff on credit. We have a lot of cheap stuff coming in from China. We take it for granted. But it's going to change. I mean, Americans are going to have to stop throwing things out and buying new stuff. We're going to have to repair the stuff that we have because we don't have the factories anymore. And we can't keep borrowing money to import the things that other people produce with their factories. So this is going to be a painful adjustment process. Back to a viable economy that grows based on underconsumption, saving, and investment, where the consuming is the reward for the economic growth, the production and the savings. We've got it backwards. We claim that we're a consumer-based economy. You can't have an economy based on consumption. It's a disaster. It's a bubble, which is what we have. But the Fed wants to perpetuate this. The Fed doesn't want anybody going to rehab. The Fed doesn't want people realizing that that's where we need to be. They want to keep the party going. They want to keep the high going. So they are going to come back with more QE. They are going to keep rates at zero. But they don't want to admit that that's what they're doing. So they have to come up with excuses and reasons.
Well, I have to say, you didn't just predict, and I'm not kissing your butt here, it's true. You didn't just predict that they wouldn't raise it. You explained years ago what the rope-a-dope was, the philosophy. And now that I look at it, you can really see them teasing people and creating this illusion, but then always pushing it out. How long do you think till they do finally raise it? Or have they decided to just never do it? I mean, how far will they inflate this currency?
Well, I think their plan, if they can pull it off, is not to raise rates and then to have some bad stuff happen. And they can say, you know, we were ready to do it. Everything was working. Everything was going great. But something happened that nobody could have possibly anticipated. And because of this crazy event that happened somewhere in the world,
9/11.
You know, we're going to have to postpone what we were going to do. We're going to have to do QE4 because everything, we know it works because it had worked. You know, and the whole idea of talking about raising rates allows the Fed to claim victory, right? They get to have their cake and eat it too, because they can claim, like, everything is great, we're going to raise rates, but they don't actually raise rates because the easy part is bringing rates to zero. Any central bank can do that. The impossible part is lifting them back up again once you've got everybody addicted to zero.
Sure. What does it signify that China is moving out of U.S. Treasuries? I mean, what does that signify?
Well, I think the Chinese are smart. I think they could read the writing that Americans can't. I think they have a lot of treasuries, and they want to get rid of them. And I think it's not just China. You have countries all around the world that have loaded up on treasuries. They're going to sell.
Is that the beginning of moving towards the exits? Because you've been saying the last few years that when we see them starting to dump U.S. bonds, that's the big sign.
I think it is a big sign. And, you know, right now there's still speculators buying the dollar on the idea that the U.S. economy is sound and that the Fed's going to raise rates. But it's all because the Fed says it is. I mean, if you actually look at all the economic data that comes out every day, it's weak. The data hasn't been this weak since the Great Recession. Yet nobody pays attention to the actual data. They just look at Janet Yellen. And as long as Janet Yellen says everything is great, nobody cares what the data is. They're all waiting for the Pied Piper, Janet Yellen. It's like, you know, the emperor has no clothes. No one wants to admit the emperor is naked until Janet Yellen says it. You know?
Let me ask you this, and I want to go to some phone calls. You're making you put your crystal ball cap on. And I know you're not making a prediction here, but in your gut, what you tell your wife, what you tell your family, what you're telling our audience now, how do you see this going down the next 6 months? What do you see happening this fall? A lot of folks like Dent and others have been pretty accurate like you. They think it's imminent, that it's going to get a lot worse a lot quicker. But we know they've got a lot of weird tricks up their sleeves. The market's so rigged now, interest rates, the stock market, that they can, you know, suspend reality for a while longer, kind of like Wile E. Coyote runs out over the cliff, and for a minute he doesn't fall because he's not really in the real world. He's being drawn by Mel Blanc.
Yeah, well, it's not until he looks down that he realizes he's no longer on the ground.
And exactly.
That Wile E. Coyote phenomenon is going to happen because a lot of Americans don't realize there's nothing beneath their feet but air. And what's keeping it going is just the Fed's credibility. But how much longer can it maintain credibility by bluffing it's going to raise rates but never delivering? And if it actually does deliver on a rate hike, it's just going to accelerate the collapse that much further, because if the Fed does raise rates by a quarter point, the markets are going to start anticipating the next quarter and the next quarter, and it's going to unravel even faster. So they're damned if they do and they're there that they don't, which is why I think they're going to take the path of least resistance, which is leave rates at zero and keep pretending they're going to raise them until there's something that happens where they have to do QE4. And maybe it's going to be the jobs numbers. I mean, at some point, these job numbers are going to turn south with everything else. I mean, all the other data has already turned to recession. The only thing left is the employment data, and that's coming.
But don't they admit most of the employment numbers are cooked anyways?
They don't admit that, although Janet Yellen, even in her last statement, when they didn't raise rates, she said, we're still waiting to see improvement in the labor market. What improvement is she waiting for? If the unemployment rate is as low as it is and the employment market is as great as she says it is, why does she need to improve more? That just proves she's lying. She knows that the labor market is lousy, and if it's lousy now in September, it ain't going to be any better in October or December. In fact, it's probably going to be worse.
Well, do you think Dent and others are right then that they think by later this fall or winter we're going to see a huge stock market plunge?
Well, look, I don't think the Federal Reserve is going to allow a huge stock market plunge. I think at some point, if it looks like the market is in danger of that big a decline, QE4 is going to be announced. So they're not going to allow their own bubble to deflate. They spent years blowing air into it. They're not going to let it, you know, implode. So she's going to stop the stock market from collapsing. If I thought that the Fed was actually going to raise rates the way everybody believes they're going to do, then the stock market would crash, and maybe Dent would be right. But if the Fed does what I believe they're going to do and, you know, comes with more QE, then it's the dollar that's going to crash, not the stock market. And in fact, what's putting pressure on all the emerging markets, commodities, gold, is the belief that the Fed is going to tighten monetary policy. That's what's crushing the entire world. And until Janet Yellen admits she's not going to do that, then it's not going to change. And sure. The irony of it is Janet Yellen is saying, I don't want to raise rates because of the problems overseas. The problems overseas are because she's going to raise rates, or everybody thinks she's going to raise rates.
Well, it's like CNBC.
Which means she can't.
It's like CNBC famously a few years ago said, aren't we all just slaves of central banks? And then they cut the five guests all agreeing. I mean, this is really, I guess, the great question. Now can central banks and bureaucrats suspend economic reality? And can they pump a bubble up to Zimbabwe proportions and not have any blowback from that? And I just think common sense says it can't.
Now, look, all bubbles pop. And the problem is the bigger they get before they pop, the more damage when they pop. And this is the biggest one yet. And remember, you know, people, I was on CNBC and the guy Scott Nations was saying, Peter, how is it possible that you're right and everybody else is wrong? Well, you know what? That's what happens. That's what happened with the housing bubble. And again, I'm not the only one, but there are not that many of us. But yes, I was right, and almost everybody was wrong. All the big banks, including the Federal Reserve, including Janet Yellen, were completely oblivious to the housing bubble and any of the consequences that were going to hit the economy when that bubble burst. I laid it out exactly the way it happened.
Sure.
And here we are again, fast forward 2015. It's the same.
Could it be Chicago?
The same monitor.
Could it be L.A.? Could it be Puerto Rico going bankrupt? I mean, we don't know what the trigger. War with Russia. I mean, who knows what could trigger this thing going crazy?
Well, look, just the threat of higher interest rates is what's doing it after 7 years of 0%. But my point is, we are around the corner from a much worse economic crisis than 2008. But 2008 was still big. It was the worst downturn since the Great Depression, and nobody in the halls of power saw it.
Nobody didn't want to see it.
Nobody in Wall Street, nobody at the Fed, nobody. Just a handful of people right. that they thought were crackpots. Some of those crackpots got very rich, but, you know, very few people saw it. And now it's the same situation all over again.
I agree. I want to go to some calls here on the Pontiff and get your take after we take one or two, because all it right. ties in economically. His answer is more government. In Louisiana, you're on the air. Thanks for holding. Your take on His Excellency visiting Obama and this huge socialist love fest. Go ahead. You're on the air.
What an honor, Alex, to be on your show. I just want to thank my friend Nub, who turned me on to your show about 2 years ago. First-time caller. You nailed this Pope, Alex. He's totally evil. Him and King Jihad, Barack Obama, two peas in a pod. Things that you talked about 2 years ago when I first listened, they're coming to pass. The Catholic Church and the Vatican City over there, totally evil. I just wanted to thank you for being on your show, Alex, and go to another caller. Thanks.
Well, God bless you. We're going to go to break here in a moment, come back with more on this. But I never get into religion. I don't bash Protestants, Catholics, Jews, Hindus. There's good people all over. But this Pope is so political, and he's here to lecture America how we couldn't have air conditioning. I mean, this is austerity. And it seems like him and Obama are joining forces. The UN's coming out of the closet for world government. This Pope's announced world government. What's going on, Peter Schiff? We're going to skip this network break.
Yeah, you know, if the Pope really cared about the people, I mean, and again, you know, maybe he does, but if he really understood and wants to help, he should be embracing capitalism, freedom. That's what lifts people out of poverty. I mean, it's not government programs. Government programs create and perpetuate poverty.
And we know that. It's a historical fact.
Yes, he ought, instead of just reading the Bible, he should read history. He should understand what made America so wealthy in the first place, and it was the absence of government.
Everybody wanted to come here.
Yes, he's here. You know, we did more, certainly, to lift people out of poverty than any other country. Now, unfortunately, ever since the government declared war on poverty, poverty's been on the rise. But before the government decided to battle poverty, capitalism was destroyed.
They started battling it in the 40s, and now we've got the biggest wealth redistribution, the biggest divide, the smallest middle class ever.
Yeah, I mean, we need less government, right? Redistributing a shrinking pie is not the solution. Yet, you know, it sounds good, you know, but even, you know, in the Bible, they talk about, well, you tied 10%. I mean, they don't really endorse or recommend socialism there. So I don't know, you know, why the church has officially embraced the doctrine that has so failed miserably throughout time. I mean, look at these countries that have been communist. You know, look at the rampant poverty. I mean, look at all the poverty in Africa. I mean, it's not because of freedom and capitalism that there's so many poor people in sub-Saharan Africa. I mean, look at what the governments are doing to their own people in these countries. Go there and lecture those governments. Now, the fact of the matter is, there are problems in America, but it's because the government is doing too much, not because they're not doing enough.
Well, that's absolutely a fact. And he didn't criticize Fidel Castro and his half a million political dissidents in jail. He's going to come here and criticize our prisons, which would be fine if he criticized the communist prisons. I'm all for criticizing prisons. We just did it earlier in the hour. Why is the whole power structure, whether it's Warren Buffett or bad-mouthing capitalism, when they've gotten so rich from it?
Yeah, well, again, it's a lot of people like to be liked. You know, that's part of the problem, because so many other people embrace socialism, and it makes you look good if you pretend or you show your compassion by how much you're in favor of these government programs. But, of course, you know, being compassionate and generous with somebody else's money is very easy, and there are a lot of liberals that want to do that. But, again, that's just theft. Rebranded as democracy, but it's still wrong. And, you know, if the Pope is a religious man, and of course he is, he knows that theft is wrong, right? There's a commandment there that says don't steal. It doesn't have a little asterisk by it unless the government does it for you, right? You can't vote for other people to steal for you. If it's wrong to steal, then it's wrong to do it indirectly through elected politicians.
Bingo. Bingo. Absolutely on target. Shifting gears and letting the callers bring up other topics that I'd like to ask you about. Refugees. Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and eight other countries won't take one single person. Saudi Arabia quarterback destabilizing Syria, running those jihad forces. That's all admitted. It's been declassified. Our government's working with the radicals. then they lecture us. Bill in Minnesota wants to comment on the, quote, refugees or migrants. I'm going to go to my neighbor's house and, hey, I'm moving into your bedroom. I want food. I want my medical bills paid. I'm a migrant. I mean, it's stealing. It's just, but why is the West the only group told we've got to pay for everything? Again, it's because of our Judeo-Christian ethic. They know we're the nicest people in the world. I'm not saying other countries are bad, but let's face it, we are literally a bunch of bleeding heart chumps, and it's killing us, folks. It's killing us. Bill in Minnesota, you're on the air with Peter Schiff. Welcome.
Hey, honored to be on with both of you guys. I got to say, a couple weeks ago when you had an article up about these migrants, and I just call them invaders. I mean, that's all they are. They're just invading countries that were sovereign and thinking that they can get a free ride. But here's the deal. You had an article up about how German officials were telling German women not to dress provocatively around these Muslims because they don't get it. They might rape you. What kind
of
person?
Well, that's happening. This is political correctness. We have to give up our culture of freedom. Under their political, that's a great question. I'm going to go back to you, Bill, but I want to ask Peter Schiff this question. What do you make of the migrant crisis? What do you make of the politically correct, the radical liberals will never criticize radical Islam? I mean, I don't get it. Why won't the feminists, we've sent reporters and gone to feminist events, they will not say one word about radical Islam, and then they're telling German women, basically start conforming to Sharia law. What is the love affair with the left and radical Islam?
Well, you know, I think they find it hard to criticize because they don't want that criticism to blow back on themselves because people may be able to connect the dots and see what the similarities are. And, you know, they want to focus on, oh, the countries, you know, where the migrants are going, you know, what's wrong there? Why aren't they, you know, welcoming them the way they should? What about where these people are fleeing and what ideology and what type of governments they're fleeing from? I mean, that is the problem. It's the problem isn't that, you know, that they're coming to certain countries, but why are they leaving the countries that they're leaving? And of course, the only problems would be if these people walk into the, you know, the social welfare states of these other European countries. Why don't we just have freedom?
You know, it's the welfare that's drawing it. It's the welfare.
Look, we had all these immigrants, way more immigrants were coming to New York, my grandparents among them, 1880, 1890, 1900, 1910. They were flooding in and there was no problem. They were all absorbed into the culture, into the economy. They were productive. There was no welfare. There was no food stamps. There wasn't a single government program to help the immigrants that were coming to this country by the boatload, far more than the refugees do we have today.
But there was no welfare.
No problem.
There was no welfare, and migrants, whether they were from Russia or whether they were from Ireland or from England or whether they were from wherever, they wanted to be Americans.
Yeah, and they wanted to be Americans not because there was a government to take care of them, because there was no government to bother them. They wanted freedom. That's what they came here for, and that's what they got, and we all benefited from it.
They were escaping mafias. They were escaping. I was reading today how Italy can't even do business. The mafia's taken over, so more Italians want to leave and go somewhere else. I mean, it's the same deal. Just let me build my furniture. Let me make my shoes. Let me have my restaurant. Let me build my factory. Get off my back. That's what made this country great. Bill, anything else on that point?
Yeah, I mean, it put a pit in my stomach after looking at the picture that you had on your story on InfoWars about how German officials are telling German-born and raised women how to dress around these new invaders. And you showed a girl in a miniskirt and how miniskirts are supposed to be banned now. Just don't do it because you might get raped. I mean, what kind of world do we live in? And I asked a question about a senator here in Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar, and Al Franken. They are both begging to bring in more of these Arabs, these Muslims. And here's the deal. Why do Democrat women, feminists, want more Muslims here? Because Muslims do not treat women well at all.
Here's the deal. I want to say a lot of Muslims are good, hardworking people. There are a lot of radicals. Islam is becoming radicalized. The West is helping this. And that's a good way to end the interview to ask. The Democrats, on average, I'm not a Republican, but I mean, Democrats hate America. They hate freedom. They want to mount America's head on the wall. We're like a trophy. And so they're like spoiled kids throwing a fit, wrecking the house. What do you think in closing, Peter Schiff?
Well, you know, I think that this is near the end. I mean, all of this, all the stuff that's going on, these are all, you asked earlier on the show about signs. This is it. This is not normal, right? I think the beginning of the end was the 2008 financial crisis.
I know you got to go. Dude, one 60-second break, 70 seconds. Come back and finish up your point of this is not healthy. This is the sign of the end, and then we'll let you get out of here. We'll also talk about how folks put some nice pressure on the prison to let your dying dad out. Back in 70 seconds with Peter Schiff.
Visit GCNLive.com today.
It's now more clear than ever. The globalists have launched a planetary destabilization plan. Here at the InfoWars operation, we hope and pray that this is not the case. But the signs of things deteriorating around the world are unmistakable. For many years, I've been working with My Patriot Supply, and we have now developed a private label called InfoWars Select. Look, it's important to have firearms and water filtration during a collapse, but you've also got to have food. InfoWars Select is a wide variety of their highest quality packages at the lowest price they have ever offered before. It's an introductory offer for only 2 weeks. Visit InfoWarsSelect.com or InfoWarsStore.com and find out why these meals are the highest quality, longest lasting, easiest to transport food solutions you're going to find anywhere. Visit InfoWarsSelect.com today. Watch the informational videos and check out the wide selection for yourselves. That's InfoWarsSelect.com or InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.